Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for all my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in a tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve!
From the world-famous Cardiff Electric Network studios, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who gives me street cred, the wacko alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
And my partner in all things, Tacy. Hello, Tacy.
Hello.
This is a show for people who had never listened to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347.
Go ahead.
Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine, as long as we're still on Twitter, and at drscottwm. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, respiratory therapist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, blah, 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 blah. All right, very good. Thank you, Dr. Scott. And Tacy,
hello.
Don't forget to check stuff.drsteve.com. That's stuff.drsteve.com for all of your internet shopping needs. It helps keep us on the air and keep us semi-independent. Oh, good Lord. We'll talk about that in a minute. And check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. And please visit patreon.com/weirdmedicine. That's our Patreon channel. That's Tacy and me for the most part. And we have celebrity guests, and we answer Patreon-exclusive questions. There's polls. There's all kinds of stuff up there. We did a live stream. That was kind of fun. And there you go. All right. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net. And hello, Tacy.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm fine.
Oh, God. I'm glad. Here's how's retirement?
I'm sleepy today.
She's sleepy. And because of all the things that you did today?
I worked out very hard today.
Okay.
That's good.
And then I pretty much laid on the couch the rest of the day.
Excellent. So that's all you should do when you're, and that'll make you tired.
Yeah. Maybe that's why. And but I was tired when I laid down, so.
Yeah, okay. So it makes sense that when you wake up, you would be tired. Hey, Scott, how are things going with Simply Herbals?
Really well.
Good.
We've been pretty
appreciate
busy.
Appreciate all the
it's a good thing.
Weird medicine folks helping out with
oh,
that.
Oh, Lord. So, yeah. Yeah, without those guys, we'd be in big old pot of trouble.
All right. Well, good deal. Hey, I need to listen. Lenny Bruce's career kind of went sideways when after about the 10th time he got thrown in jail for speaking out about, you know, on topics that weren't considered appropriate at the time. And so he spent the rest of his career standing on stage reading court documents. And people got tired of it, I think. I think there were some people who listened in with rapt attention. And, you know, our buddy Carl is in a sort of a war with a certain former Howard Stern stunt boy who, they're in a war. And so now they're going back and forth and they're going to have legal proceedings and all kinds of stuff like that going on. And I don't want to, you know, bore anybody with what I've got going on, but I'm going to be the same damn way here because for at least a little while, I know people are sick of hearing from me on Twitter about this already. But we are on Rumble today, live streaming, not on YouTube, because I will not go back on that on YouTube ever again, at least not with this show. And let me tell you what happened. So I think last show, we were talking about how I was on this show talking about clinical trials and how I had gotten one of my Twitter tweets flagged by Twitter because I was talking about ivermectin, and I talked about it in the same sentence as the disease called COVID-19, and what I was basically saying was that someone had asked me if there was any validity to people taking ivermectin for COVID-19, and I said, well, right now we don't have any clinical data that is convincing enough to me to prescribe it, but that the idea itself is not completely out of, it's not insane because right. Just like aspirin, which has the ability to relieve pain in a muscle sprain or rheumatoid arthritis, but also can decrease the risk of heart attack and stroke, some drugs have more than one activity. Yes, ivermectin is and it was used as an antiparasitic, but it has been demonstrated in the past to have RNA antiviral properties. This was an RNA virus, or is an RNA virus, so it made sense to some people to at least pull it off the shelf and see if it would do any good.
Because nothing else was helping.
Particularly at the time. Yeah. Nothing else was exactly happening, and they were desperate to find something off the shelf that would work. And I said that, so from that standpoint, it's not complete assholery to think that this stuff might help, and that what they did to Joe Rogan by saying that he was taking horse paste, which was, by the way, legally prescribed to him by his physician. Joe himself said, I don't know, I'm a dumbass. I'm paraphrasing, but it was, to that effect. Right. I'm a dumbass. I'm not a doctor. It was prescribed to me by my doctor. Now, you may have issues with his provider writing that for him, but that's not Joe's fault. And the fact that he got on, said, I got better. Well, most people got better. He's in great shape. We expected him to get better. He freely admitted this is anecdotal evidence. But, you know, what was done to him in the press was bullshit. And so we talked about that a few shows back. Anyway, so that was it. And I also, we went on clinicaltrials.gov, and there used to be 73 studies being done by well-intentioned, government-funded researchers on a government website. And this is where the crux of the thing happened, where we were talking about all those studies on there. There are now something like 94. If you go to clinicaltrials.gov, put in COVID-19, and then as a keyword, ivermectin, you'll see it's up to 90-some studies right now. Only some of them are active, but these are studies where people have applied to get on the clinical trial registry, that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Have you ever once heard me say, oh, you know, the government is trying to suppress, you know, blah, you know, and none of that. Mm-hmm. I've talked about how terrible medical journalism is, mm-hmm. and I've talked about the science behind why people thought that this was the case and why we were pulling stuff off the shelves in the beginning.
Right.
And so not only did, you know, I thought we were just getting a warning, but they gave us a content strike and they yanked our video. And the video was behind, it was private. No one could see it.
Right.
They had transcribed it. The AI had transcribed our video, saw that I used the word COVID and ivermectin in the same sentence, and yanked it. And so I appealed it. I said, listen, this happens. It was just AI. Mm-hmm. Understood. It saw those two things in close proximity. They thought I was some sort of nut. Mm-hmm. So I appealed it. And I said, you know, I only talk about science. We were talking about clinical trials on a government website. And about 3 days later, I got a letter from YouTube saying that we have reviewed your appeal and we feel that your content was dangerous and misinformation, and we have removed it and there is no chance of further appeal.
Ugh. What a bunch of shitheads.
Yeah.
That's
very unfortunate. Now, here's the thing.
It's hard to believe, too.
So you go, well, so what? You got one content strike. Why do you care? You know, we had this stupid YouTube channel. We just do it so you and I'll have a live audience to bounce off of. You know, it's not like I've never made a big deal out of our YouTube channel. We're lucky if we get
making any money
1,000 views on anything. If we're lucky if we get 200. Yeah. I'm not trying to make this a YouTube thing.
Right.
You know, we use the PTSD thing from Tacy, and I did a Patreon, mm-hmm. and I thought the answer that we gave had some general interest, so I threw it up on YouTube so the people that didn't or couldn't afford to sign up for our Patreon, which, by the way, patreon.com/weirdmedicine.
Only $5 a month.
Right.
What? That's a bargain.
That people that weren't subscribed, the person that called in actually called in on, the podcast. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure that person could hear it. So we were using it for that stuff. It's more utilitarian. But I cannot sit here and be looking over my shoulder, self-editing. I self-edit enough as it is. That's where all these vocal crutches come from, because I'm constantly scanning the words that I'm getting ready to spew out of my mouth to make sure that I don't say something that might harm somebody.
Right.
And I mean physically. I'm not talking about emotionally.
Right.
Because Tacy will tell you that's never been a big problem. But So I'm already self-editing enough. I can't self-edit when I'm talking about hard science. Now, I might put up another channel in the future. I thought a fun channel to do, what you and I could do, would be a more science-y one.
Sure.
Where I would like to calculate the Tacy will like this one. It'd be fun if you do. You could do this with us, and you could just be rolling your eyes the whole time. You could just be rolling your eyes, going nerds and stuff.
I'd be okay.
I want to calculate the speed of light using first principles by calculating the permeability and permittivity of free space using an experimental model.
What do you think about that, Scott?
And then I think that would be fun. Okay, that's fine. No, that's why it would be fun, because I would be all excited and you guys would be, oh, Jesus, really?
Wait, does this feel like it's really, it should happen really quickly so it won't take long? That's the good news.
That's not how it works. But the experiment itself is sort of interesting. But
that sounds good.
We could do things like that. I would be fine putting that on YouTube.
Sure.
But I'm not putting this show on YouTube anymore. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Because we will be talking about things. I mean, what's next? You know?
You know, it's a shame that again, we have not done anything but just give people the facts. You know, it's up to every individual to determine, you know, their interpretation of those
course.
Facts, right? But we just give them the facts. I mean, there's never been anything that we've said that would warrant them kicking us off the YouTube.
Yeah. No, I know.
But, you know, I think, Dr.
Well, first they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. Mm-hmm. And then they came for the trade unionists, mm-hmm. and I didn't speak out because I was not, you know, that thing.
Yeah.
Then eventually they came for me. That was Martin Niemöller, and I really don't deserve to be able to quote him. But anyway.
But, you know, what troubles me is what's happening with YouTube. We're having a little bit of
I think it's Niemöller. Niemöller.
Niemöller.
Yeah.
Have a little similar And we were having this discussion today with you're familiar with Square?
Yes.
And Square. Okay, so we're having an issue with Square because Square noticed that on our sales there was a CBD, the word CBD.
Yeah.
So they flagged my account.
What?
And they're keeping all of my funds. And
what?
And will not transfer. And that's the problem. You know, it's just
perfectly
like
legal substance, right?
Across the board. Across the board, they asked for.
You're shitting me.
No, it gets better. They wanted 3 months of my bank statement so they could evaluate where this money was coming from, which, of course,
legit or not.
Right, and I declined it, of course, based on what my.
How much they owe you?
My attorney. Like $1,000, which is enough to.
That's enough to piss
to
me
be
pissed, off
yeah,
for
it,
real.
It's the principle.
And
thing.
Fight for other people.
It's the principle thing.
Well, it's the same thing yeah, here.
It's the same thing. Know. But, you know, what really chapped my ass is the one thing they really wanted was a COA from the state of Tennessee saying that there was no THC of any kind in this CBD
okay.
oil. Okay.
Would they have accepted a lab thing? Because I can hook you up.
It's a lab analysis. I have it.
Oh, okay.
I turned it in.
Okay.
They sent me a thing back and said, illegible.
What?
And so... My problem is, kind of like with you, I can't talk to anybody physically.
No, there's nobody to talk to.
So I'm trying to go back and forth with this bot that this is, did we answer your question successfully? No.
Can you sue him?
No, we can't. Who
you can sue him. No, you can sue him. There's somebody to sue.
There's got to be somebody. But, oh, my God.
I mean, for $1,000, but then, so that would be, I guess, small claims, which won't fly.
It cost me more than.
But, yeah, now it started, you know, the cost.
Yep.
And now it's restraining your trade because that's how people pay you. So who knows how much you've lost because you can't use them anymore.
Yeah.
And it is the principle of the thing. Yep. Maybe there's a class action thing you can get in.
It's just a booger. It's a booger. Cause,
that's a bigger deal than my deal. Mine, I'm a little butt hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a principle thing. It would just be so nice to be able to contact them and say, hey, listen, guys.
Yeah. If here's, I could, yeah, same. Go ahead. Sorry, yeah, I just get so excited.
No, it's the same thing with you. It's like, come on, man. Here's what we do. This is the content of this show. You know, here's what we have. I mean, we've got proof of all these things, but it doesn't matter.
Guaranteed, it was some 20-year-old that listened to him and went, oh, he said, you know. I started spelling. Oh, and I talked about that on the show. Maybe that's what they didn't like. The other thing that pissed me off is they wouldn't tell me exactly what it was I said that they didn't like. I didn't know if it was me talking about masking the word ivermectin on Twitter, where I spell it with an exclamation point instead of an I, just so I don't get another tweet flagged for saying, here's the clinical trials. I'm not pushing ivermectin. I never have.
No.
But I'm not also going to just shit on it just because politically that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yep.
That's not what the science, that's not how we do science.
Because they're doing science on it right now.
Yes.
As we're speaking. They're researching it
and people,
to see if it works.
And even if it doesn't, is there not a possible fucking ability that we will learn something from the research that we are doing on this disease that might be apropos to the next RNA virus.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, by the way, my friends, Ebola happens to be an RNA type virus as well.
Yeah.
So kiss my ass on that.
Thanks
I'm
for knitting.
I'm really effing pissed. I haven't been mad about something in a long time. And yeah. I'm still, it happened it happened a day after we recorded the last show. So it's been a week. I'm still mad as hell.
It's been a great week.
Oh, really?
Just kidding.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That sounded sincere.
Well, maybe I have been an asshole. I don't know.
No.
No, okay.
What would cause
an asshole.
That?
All right.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
All right. We did this one on the Patreon, but I want to do it on the regular show. And so we're trying out Rumble because I don't know. Look, I can either go to a platform where they will listen and use their heads and have some brains about what we're doing, or I can go somewhere where they don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. I can't find the first thing.
Yeah.
So that's why we're on Rumble right now, because apparently they don't give a shit. So even if you said the other stuff that I don't say.
No.
I don't know. Thank you, Rumble, for letting us be here for right now, and we'll see how it goes.
We'll behave.
I don't even want to behave.
No, I know.
I could behave.
That's being stupid.
Over on YouTube. Well, I'll be good.
Oh, I know.
I'll be good, YouTube, if you'll just not give me another contract strike. I don't want to do that. And then think, well, there's this study on, this moiety of ivermectin or of hydroxychloroquine that's showing some promise in this one clinical trial, and isn't that interesting? And the people that were rooting against these drugs because they didn't like the people that were promoting them, you know, they're part of the problem. That got, you know, I don't want to get in trouble for saying that. I feel like I got sent to the principal's office.
Right on.
You know, and then my mommy came in and said, and they still said, no, he's still suspended. You can't talk him out of it. And it's like, go fuck yourself. God, I'm so mad. All right. You want to do some questions?
Let's do. Yeah, we've actually got one from the chat room.
Oh, we do? Yeah, oh, we have a chat room?
Yeah, a chat room.
Well, go Rumble. Okay, what do we got?
We got one in the books. So Brian says, hey, Dr. Steve, just sent you an email. Just thought I'd put it in here. You're going to love this. He just
D-dimer.
Got his D-dimer back at 553.
Okay.
He's 35 years old and says, he was having some random inner thigh pain in his left leg. Should he be concerned?
Okay. So here's the thing. So the D-dimer test, it looks for a thing called D-dimer in the blood. And it's a protein fragment that your body makes when clots actually dissolve in the body, okay? And so obviously blood clotting is a big deal, and you get a D-dimer, you go, oh God, that means I must have a blood clot in my body. And so it will be positive when you have a deep venous thrombosis.
Okay.
That it certainly will. It will be, and that what that is a blood clot in one of the large veins,
mm-hmm.
which if it's in one of the big, big veins, it can move, go through the right side of your heart into the lung and cause a pulmonary embolism, which is another time when a D-dimer will be positive.
Okay.
There are other things that can be positive as well. The problem is that this damn D-dimer test may be indicative of a clot. Doesn't show where the clot is located, what kind of clotting problem there is, and they're not always caused by clotting problems. So there's other things like pregnancy, recent surgery, or recent trauma, and that kind of stuff. So it's too nonspecific to just go, well, okay, if somebody came to me mm-hmm. and they had thigh pain, I wouldn't just order a D-dimer. Yeah. I would order a test that's specific for what I think they might have. If I think they have a deep venous thrombosis, I would get a venous Doppler.
Mm-hmm. Like an ultrasound?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then look for it that way
right.
because the D-dimer is just so nonspecific.
Right. What is the D-dimer?
Well, it, like I said, it's this protein that clots give off when they dissolve.
I was kind of fading out.
It's okay. It's okay. So
stay with us, Stacey.
I was trying.
You know, if you want to just screen, then that's fine. But then now they got to order a Doppler ultrasound, or if they think you're having a pulmonary embolism, which would normally be acute onset of shortness of breath mm-hmm. and chest pain. then they would do a CT angiography. So talk to your provider, see what they think it is, and then they're going to do this more specific test after they've done this sort of screening test.
Sounds like it should be done sooner than later.
Yeah, I would do it sooner rather than later just to make sure they're not missing something. But they should be calling you. Hey, who said that, Brian, 86S?
Yep. Yep.
So, Brian, if you're hearing us in real time, after they gave you that test, what did they tell you to do?
Mm-hmm.
So just be monitoring chat for their response. I'm assuming since it's Brian that they're not pregnant, but who knows? It's 2022. I could be completely off base on that. But pregnancy can cause an elevated D-dimer as well. All right. But I would definitely follow up on that.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Yeah, they're okay. They're 5 to 10 minutes behind. So, okay. All right. You could ask him in the chat room, though.
Yep. 10-4.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
We'll come back to that.
Okay.
Might have covered this before, but just looking for your advice on quitting smoking tobacco, cigarettes, and smoking a vape.
Yeah.
How they...
Yeah. So I'd like to smoke one right now.
I bet you would.
But I'm not going to, because mm-hmm. it's not that strong anymore. Matter of fact, there's no real craving there. That was more for humor than truth. But, you know, it kind of goes through your head.
There's a little bit of truth. A
little bit of truth there.
Yeah.
So I used to smoke 3 packs a day. Tacy used to smoke a pack a day. Scott used to dip.
Like a fiend.
Yeah. Oh, and
still miss it.
So we're going to answer this question. But first, do you have an answer from our other person? Did they just answer you back?
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah, Brian just said that it was a random blood test. He was in a COVID recovery study, and but he said, yeah, he said other.
Oh, he had COVID,
which is kind of interesting. That's what I was going to say.
Another one
that might be part of it.
Yeah. So, did he say what they're going to do about it?
He said they did not follow up. Nice.
Okay.
Hey, Doc, I'm bleeding out of my anus. Is that okay? Yeah, just call me if it gets any
worse. Yeah, so that is an interesting thing. And I'm not an expert on, but I can become one pretty quickly. COVID-19 is well known for causing some issues with blood clots and inflammation. And it is a predictor for severity in COVID-19. So the reason that they're doing that is to see if it correlates with how people did. So I'm assuming Brian had COVID-19, enrolled in this study, and they're doing a bunch of tests to see what's a good predictor for poor outcome. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason D-dimer is elevated in COVID-19 patients is a different mechanism. It's probably due to acute lung injury. And that may be, though, due to small microclots that are thrown to the lungs. So they don't know. They don't know what the hell. Mm-hmm. But he still could call the principal investigator and say, do we need to do something about this? Mm-hmm. And they may say, oh, God, dude, we're seeing people with D-dimers of 10,000. You don't have anything to worry about. That's fine. That's a relativity that I don't know the numbers to. Mm-hmm. But I would still, ask them.
A phone call needs to be made.
Yeah, I would make a phone call.
Yeah, I think so, just to make sure.
But that's what that's about. That's very interesting. See, when you get more information, very often you get closer to the answer.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
A little closer to the answer. Yeah.
So let's go back to quitting smoking. If you get any more information, we'll just keep touching in with Ryan as time goes on. I think they're about 5 to 10 minutes behind, actually.
I think it's just Kush. I think Kush just got on late.
Okay.
I think, yeah, because Brian answered that pretty quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Scott used to dip.
Yep.
I smoked 3 packs a day. Tacy smoked a pack a day at least. Tacy quit cold turkey right after 9/11.
Yes.
Because you saw people suffering and you said, why am I sitting here smoking?
My biggest problem was I couldn't stop smoking.
Yeah, and so you just went, F it. My psychiatry professor talked about quitting smoking. And I remember this. I was in second year medical school. And this was 1,000 years ago. But his name was Dr. Bakewell. I knew him pretty well. We were on the admissions committee together. And I just remember him talking about it. He said, look, the worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to be uncomfortable for a little while. And that really is true of nicotine addiction. It's very different from alcohol addiction, where people can become so ill and even get delirium tremens and maybe die. So they need to be withdrawn under medical supervision. Same thing with benzodiazepine, Valium, Ativan, Xanax, or diazepam, lorazepam. Lorazepam or alprazolam. All of those, when you withdraw from high doses of those medications, can cause a very serious withdrawal as well. Opioids cause a serious but usually non-life-threatening withdrawal syndrome, although if you quit cold turkey and go through the full 2-week to 4-week thing with opioids, although most of the time it won't kill you unless you aspirate from, you know, the vomiting.
Right.
What it can do, though, is cause a thing called acute post-withdrawal syndrome, which can cause depression and malaise and asthenia and stuff for over, for up to 2 years. Asthenia, just feeling, ugh, I've been sick, you know, like that. That's asthenia. So nicotine addiction is a true addiction with a physiologic, psychologic, and habitual component. It's a three-pronged attack, but it's non-life-threatening. It just makes you feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel when you quit?
I mean, it's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable, but I mean, it's doable, but it's not easy.
No, not easy.
No.
Not easy for other reasons, though. The physiologic addiction, not the biggest part of tobacco. Tobacco is very social.
Social aspect is something I really miss from it, or did miss for a
while. Oh, my God. I would go to hospice national meetings, and all of the smokers would be immediate fast friends.
Mm-hmm.
You sought them out. Okay, it's between classes. Let's go smoke.
Yeah.
And one of those people that I went outside to smoke with at one of the national meetings ended up offering me a job in Nashville at a live hospice. Yeah.
Oh,
so, yeah, we stayed in touch because we were smoking friends. Isn't that crazy? So you do miss that. But then there's the habit. But the psychological addiction is the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you quit? How'd you quit dipping, Scott?
You know, I just titrated down. I could
well,
not
use
go,
bamboo too, right?
I could not go cold turkey. So yeah. So I went from.
Why couldn't you go cold turkey? What would happen to you if you went cold turkey?
Oh God, I was meaner than hell.
Yeah,
yeah, just the terrible,
yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, no,
mood.
It's terrible not. Mood. Yeah, you're not a nice person when you're quitting.
And
you were nice though when you were quitting, Tate.
Well, she's sweet all the time.
You were very sweet and good.
Oh yeah,
she seems more sweet in retirement, I believe. She doesn't seem quite as stressed.
I don't know. She's found new things to worry about.
Yeah, well, she will.
You keep saying that, but I swear to you,
she will find something to worry about.
I am so much better off not working.
You are,
but you keep saying,
please don't.
Now you worry about everything, and it's just bullshit.
Okay.
Well,
I won't.
You mind if I finish I'll jump right back in.
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
No, it's okay. No, it's funny. I went from 5 dips a day to 4 dips a day to 3 dips a day.
Yeah.
And just, I kept going down a little bit. But
now, like, how long does a dip last?
Oh, my gosh. A big old dip of Copenhagen or Skull or something like that. Heck, you could chew on it for hours.
Oh.
Hours.
I would never put something in my mouth that looks like that does when it comes out. It looks like...
It's awful.
Did you do the pouches?
No,
or?
Hell. No,
it looks like cholera stools when it's coming out.
No, just did the straight up.
The straight up, the hardcore stuff. And the thing about that is, you know, if you're in the middle of a game, you know, baseball game or playing golf or whatever, you just... When it starts getting a little bit old, you just throw a little bit more on top of it. Oh, it's awful. It's awful. And then you got it all in your teeth and stuff. It's terrible. But I chewed on a little bit of bamboo, sticks. So that kind of kept my mouth occupied for a long time.
That's a big part of it. I did,
mine's an oral fixation, I believe.
Cigars. Yeah. Yep. I would keep a cigar like in my mouth just for the first little bit. Yeah. Yep.
Were you still smoking on our honeymoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had not. Yeah, okay, because it was after 9/11 that you quit, and our honeymoon was 2 months before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Isn't that wild?
Or there wouldn't have been a honeymoon.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, we were in Spain and they had Cuban cigars, and I'd never had one, so I was at the bar at the hotel. I said, "Oh, just give me one of those," and there you could smoke anywhere you wanted to. And I was worried, though, that I had been quit for long enough that I was concerned. But the smoking the cigars didn't flare up my tobacco desire or my desire to smoke cigarettes. But if I had smoked a cigarette, if they'd had Cuban cigarettes and that was a thing, I would probably still be smoking today.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit. There, I always on this show long, long ago, years ago, we talked about this, that three-pronged attack is what makes tobacco so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going frog gigging, you use a gig, you use a trident. Or if you're fishing in the sea with a spear, you use a trident. Why? Because the three-pronged sharp thing makes it, especially when it's barbed, makes it much harder for something to wriggle off than a single barb. And it's true for smoking as well. So you have the psychological addiction,
mm-hmm.
and you have the habit, and you have the physiologic addiction. So the physiologic addiction will be gone in 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
plus or minus.
Mm-hmm.
If you just don't smoke, the physical symptoms caused by withdrawal from nicotine will take about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the habit takes anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks to be done with. Well, you can break a habit in about 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah. But you got to stick with it.
But, yes, of course.
For years.
Hence the word quitting.
Years, yes.
But the psychological addiction, that goes on and on and on.
Yep.
And that's the thing. I need it. I got to have it. Oh, I used to get so pissed at myself. I'd be 6 weeks into quitting, and my wife before this one would piss me off, and I go, "God, my God, I'll show her. I'm gonna smoke a cigarette." And it's like, well, I wasn't showing her anything. That was the lizard part of my brain going, "Come on, come up with a reason to smoke. You just need one little excuse.
Come on, you know you want to."
Now I've gone. So that's the 6 weeks. So you were vulnerable at 6 weeks, and then we're going to talk about the actual way to do this at 6 weeks. And then again at 6 months. Those are your real vulnerable periods when you've quit. Because at 6 months, I would go, "Oh, I've got this beat."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could just have one.
Right.
I was at Springfield Telescope Makers, which is cellophane, and my buddy Jeff Lowe was there, and we were standing next to the McGregor Observatory, which is the largest Schuppmann telescope in the world.
Yeah.
And you know, we built that. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And do you need to get something?
Back.
Okay. Yeah, go. I was standing out there, and I remember saying, "Oh, just give it, you know, can I bum one of those cigarettes?" Because he was smoking one. It smelled good.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Are you sure, dude?" you've been quit for a long time. And I was like, yeah. It's been 6 months. I can handle it. Mm-hmm. Right after that, went right to the store and bought a pack, and I was smoking again. Stupid. Mm. I mean, just stupid.
Well, that's because you're an idiot.
Yeah, I know. So, mm-hmm. So complete idiocy. So just be careful of that. When you quit, you cannot smoke again.
No.
You're
you
done.
Can. Because you will start right back to that three and packs a day.
If I had one today, it's been 20-something years if I had one today, and it would be.
And you'll smoke more. Well, you'll rebound to more. That's how I got to three packs a day because of all the times I tried to quit. Yep. So if you've tried to quit multiple times and said, I can't do it, you can, because the studies have showed that the more times you try to quit, the more likely it is that you will quit. Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, I was smoking a pack and then a pack and a half and two packs, then two and a half and then three packs. So that was all because I was rebounding and smoking more. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the mechanism. First off, when you quit, you got to start behaving like a non-smoker. Mm-hmm. And if you will act like a non-smoker, you will become one.
Agreed.
So, but you got to do it long enough. You got to pretend long enough. So how do non-smokers act? They don't allow people to smoke in their car. They don't allow people to smoke in their house. They may not even let people smoke on their property. You know, they don't. What other things do smokers not do?
I don't know.
It's not a rhetorical question.
He's already asked me this.
Hanging out with smokers.
No, they don't hang around smokers.
They don't go buy cigarettes.
They don't have panic packs. They don't have lighters. Yeah. They don't have ashtrays, all of that stuff. So you got to think. You got to start thinking like a non-smoker and act like one.
Yeah. You got to change everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything. Get rid of it so it's not readily available. Yeah. And then the other thing is the second you quit, particularly, let's say it's in the middle of February and you live in a northern state. Let's say, I don't know, Rochester, New York. Mm-hmm. And you go outside and you're on day one of quitting and you see all those assholes huddled outside in minus 14 degree weather smoking a cigarette mm-hmm. because they have to. And you can just go, look at those stupid sons of bitches. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. You can do that. And you can... Oh, no. Oops, wrong one. This is you. You can give yourself applause. You can feel more superior than those people mm-hmm. because you don't do that anymore.
Yep. And it's like getting a big monkey off your back, too.
Oh, God, is it? Yep. And you won't stink. And you think you don't stink. You do. And but anyway, so let's talk about how to do it. So he asked about vaping. Mm-hmm. There are nicotine inhalers that are FDA approved. When I was in Durham, North Carolina in the 70s.
Streaking.
Yes. And I was working at Vickers Communications downtown. R.J. Reynolds was very close. Now where R.J. Reynolds was then is now like shops and stuff.
Okay.
But R.J. Reynolds had proposed to the FDA that they come out with a quote-unquote safer cigarette. And the safer cigarette was going to have a battery in it, and it would have a red light at the end. Probably not an LED then. I don't know. Did we have LEDs then? I don't know. But they were going to have a red light, and when you inhaled on it, it was going to trigger a mechanism that was going to heat up a coil, and it was going to create a vapor in a chamber that you would then inhale, and they could have some nicotine in it. And they said there would be no tar, therefore no cancer. There would still be nicotine, so it wouldn't be fully safe, but it would be safer. And the FDA said, nope, we're not going to let you come out with a cigarette that you're going to market as being quote-unquote safer. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we at the same time, Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome with the homeless drinking cheap wine on the street was becoming, to be a big problem. We wanted to put thiamine and folate in wine, and they said no to that because then you're going to market it as, quote, safer wine. Hmm. Okay, but now they're going to drink it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then you're just giving in to that whole they're going to do it anyway thing. And it's like, yeah, but they're going to do it anyway. Let's protect them from this
I would like the option to have safer.
Basically, wine. terminal brain injury. Mm-hmm. Look up Wernicke-Korsakoff. There was a person who used to be on this show all the time mm-hmm. that used to call in that is now in a nursing home thinking that they're in the Navy
yeah.
on a destroyer who had, you know, Wernicke-Korsakoff. And if they would have put thiamine and folate in Natty Light, that person would not be in that situation right now. They'd still probably have
other
cirrhosis
issues.
Or yeah. something. Yeah. But anyway, so they said no. Well, then, you know, a decade ago, all of a sudden these vape pens started showing up, and then there was popcorn lung and all these problems, and the journalism around those was terrible. And so that really wasn't a viable solution for a lot of people, although these people with these vape devices, with these giant canisters, Stacey and I were talking about on the
smoke
Patreon show.
Just billowing out.
And it looks like a clarinet, and you got these hipsters out there. I'm going to take a toot off of my vape pen, and then just these giant clouds.
This looks wrong.
It looks cool.
Yeah, but.
No, it doesn't.
It just can't. It
no,
just
it doesn't.
Looks like it can't be good for you. Just
no. You get behind somebody that's doing that giant, it looks like their car's
like
on fire.
Cheech and Chong's, man.
I get it. You when you start getting that feeling of something going into your lungs, you want more and more of it. That's how I graduated from Merritts up to you know Marlboro Lights to Marlboros to Pell Mell to Camels.
So Marlboro Reds were what I smoked on nights out.
Yeah,
man, you couldn't even breathe the next
no.
day.
No, wow. Right. Oh, I remember that. You had that weird pain in there every time you breathed. It was just everywhere. But now the FDA has approved our actual vape pens, and guess who? RJR.
Yep.
It's RJR Vapor or something like that. So there are FDA-approved vape pens on the market. As a quote-unquote somewhat safer alternative, or maybe a lot safer as far as cancer is concerned, I'm okay with that as a bridge to just getting off of it altogether. Yeah. The problem is the Rich Voss problem. Mm-hmm. The Rich Voss problem is Rich used to smoke, and God bless him, he used to do substances and stuff, and he's been sober for 32 years now, whatever
cool.
it is.
Let it go.
And I'm very proud of him. And but he used to smoke, and he got off of cigarettes by using Nicorette gum. And he still chews Nicorette gum. It's got to be 10, 12 years later. And to the point where his wife gives him hell about it every podcast that they do. Why do you have that gum? You're chewing. Stop chewing, you know. And I know it drives him crazy. And he really could get off of it. At this point, it's a psychological thing.
Yeah. Oral fixation.
But people say, well, so what if it's just nicotine? It's no big deal. Nicotine is still a vasoconstrictor. So you don't want to restrict blood flow to any part of your body, particularly certain parts that when certain stimuli occur, blood flows to those parts of your body, and then they engorge with blood, and you can put them in places and move them in and out, and stuff comes out, you know. You don't want to impede blood flow to that part of your body.
Right.
Daisy, just looking at me.
I'm not
like,
paying attention.
You
I'm
fucking
sorry.
Asshole.
No, I wasn't. I didn't even hear what you said.
She was taking a nap.
She's
looking straight at me and not hearing a word I'm saying.
No.
You see how good
I'm not
I
saying
am
it
at
was
it?
That clever. I'm just, you know, I was masking. I was talking about erections, okay?
Oh.
So you don't want to impede blood flow to that part
what
of the body.
What a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a surprise that when I start talking about erections, she tunes out.
Yeah, it's almost like when he starts talking about his sci-fi.
And this is what Tacy. Yeah. This yeah. is what Tacy hears.
Can you like shut up?
Or this?
Oh, wow, that is very interesting. Please tell me more.
Anyway, yeah. It. So you don't. And nicotine is a tumor promoter too. Protein kinase C
right.
can cause tumors to grow faster, and nicotine is an activator of protein kinase C. So I talk to people who are stage 4 cancer. They say, why should I even stop now? And it's because, well, there may still be reason to quit if you're so inclined mm-hmm. to quit, because there is a theoretical concern that nicotine could cause the tumor to grow faster. That's okay. theoretical, but yep. there you go. a lot of stuff we do is theoretical.
Be careful what you say.
You don't kick us off for something theoretical.
He said something against smoking. This is Rumble, God damn it.
Sons of bitches.
We don't
take kindly to you, sons of bitches.
That's right. By God. Yep. Talking down our cigarettes. So where were we? Okay, so I'm okay using vaping
as
with
a
safe product. Do your own research as a bridge. There are nicotine inhalers, but there's a way you can do it without spending any money, without doing any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk about the tapering. Dr. Scott tapered by number of dips a day, although it sounds like a dip could go all damn day long if you wanted it to.
Oh, yeah.
So I never had
it's
much
like
luck.
My mom's diet. She eats 1 meal a day.
Yeah. Only eat 1 meal
starts
a day, Tate.
7 in the morning, ends at 10:30 at night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly does. She told us that bullshit. I don't know why I can't lose weight. I only eat one time a day. And we would watch her literally open a bag of chips at 7 in the morning, or she would eat these dry-ass scrambled eggs that she makes. I know Tacy likes them because she grew up with them. And then bacon and biscuits, and then work on to a snack before lunch, and then eat some lunch, and then open a bag of chips, and then we got to get some dip, and on and on and on. Anyway, that's not conducive to losing weight. I never could do it by number of cigarettes a day.
Okay.
Because I'd always cheat. Because I'd get down to 3 cigarettes a day, and it's like, well, I could just have 4. I'd smoke 3 at until noon. I'd smoke those 3, and then I'm out for the rest of the day. It's like, fuck this, I'm going to smoke. So I did it by time of day.
Okay.
So the first day, I didn't smoke for the 2 hours. I didn't smoke the 2 before I hit the showers. That's it. Mm-hmm. And smoked normally the rest of the day. Then the next day, I wouldn't smoke the 2 on the way to the showers, and I wouldn't smoke the 2 in the car on the way to the hospital. And that was it. The rest of the day, smoked like normal.
Okay.
Then when I wouldn't smoke the 1 to my office. Now, on the 4th day, now I had to start going by time because I would get to my office at 9. And at 9, so now I can't smoke till 10. And then the next day, can't smoke till 11. Then 12. And it's easier that way because after you get to that certain point, you can smoke as much as you want. And then you would go all the way around the clock until you would get to the point where your next cigarette was after you went to bed. In other words, you could have one at midnight, but you went to bed at 11.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've gone 24 hours when you wake up the next day, longer than that.
Yep.
So now I'm not a smoker anymore. That day is when you have to make sure that all that shit is thrown away. Don't hesitate. Just take it and throw it in the trash. And you are now a non-smoker. And now you got to start acting like one.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my philosophy on that. And if you are listening to this and you quit smoking and you need somebody to talk to that used to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day and knows exactly what you're going through, call or email us, go to drsteve.com, click contact, be happy to talk to you about it.
Yeah, how much
anytime.
Is a pack of Skoal now, or whatever you call it?
Lord, I don't know. I would say at least $5, $6, $7.
I mean, cigarettes are
is
like
that a lot?
8.
Yeah, when I first started dipping, it's probably like $1 a can.
How many dips can you get out of a thing, a tin of Skoal, though?
Probably 5-ish.
Really?
5 or 6, yeah. Good size dips.
So that would last you a day.
Yeah.
So you're doing $5 a day.
Dude, I was doing a can a day.
Well, dude, how much did you look at, see how much cigarettes were? $13 in New York?
I didn't look in New York, but it's $8 here.
Holy moly.
Echo, what's the average price of a pack of cigarettes in the United States?
Recently on Amazon, the price for pack of cigarettes ranged from $5 up to $160.
Okay, that's useless. What the hell? Yeah. They're selling cigarettes on Amazon. Okay, thank you, Echo.
Yeah, average can of Skoal, $8.
$8.
Mama, that's
expensive.
That's expensive.
Yeah. That is expensive,
especially when doing a can a day.
I think we looked it up during the Patreon show. It was $13 a pack in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nowhere to smoke them.
Hey, you know what's crazy, Dr. Steve, too? And I'll be interested to see if you guys are feeling the same way I am. I'm actually getting a little a little saliva in my mouth right now thinking about getting a dip of Copenhagen. I swear I am.
Really?
Almost yeah, no, a little Pavlovian.
Oh, I'm definitely getting some wine.
A little Pavlovian.
Yeah, I'm getting nothing from that.
I really am.
Listen, and that's the thing, y'all.
I could use
the thing that Tacey and I, and maybe Scott, I haven't asked him this, have in common is we both still dream about smoking. Mm-hmm. Do you dream about dipping? Do you ever wake up and go, oh, shit, I just did a whole can of Skoll and forgot that I quit?
No, you know,
you never do.
No, I don't think so. No.
Isn't that weird? It's weird that he's getting the Pavlovian response. Oh, yeah. We're not,
totally,
but
totally.
We still dream about it.
I can feel it right now.
I'll dream that I, well, I have all kinds of crazy dreams. I one time I dreamt that Paris was in my backyard. I've never been to Paris, but I wondered why I'd never gone because, fuck, it was in my backyard this whole time. Why would I get on a plane to go to Paris when it's in my backyard? I'm thinking this. In my brain, I'm smart enough to go, why would I have ever gotten on a plane to go to this place? But I'm not smart enough to realize that Paris being in my backyard is just ludicrous.
That's wild.
But anyway, I dream about them all the time. And I will dream that I'm smoking a pack of cigarettes in a bar or something. And then I go, fuck, wait a minute, I forgot I quit. And then I'll wake up real quick and then go, I'm glad that was a dream.
Mm.
Tacey, you dream about them periodically.
All the time.
All the time. Yeah. But you never dream about dipping. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Strange person.
Let's go get some smokes, man.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
All right, I got a quickie here.
Nope. Steve, hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey.
Hello.
This is Mike from Ohio.
Hey, Mike.
Now, this is my dilemma.
Okay.
When I was 30 years old, my height measured 5 feet 11 inches. And now at age 70, I measure 5 foot 8 inches. Is my life beginning to mirror the main character from the 1950s sci-fi movie, The Incredible Shrinking Man?
Okay, we actually answered this once before, but it's not bad. I actually measured myself. I'm down an inch and a half from my tallest height. And the discs between your vertebrae will start to dehydrate and they get smaller and you got a bunch of them and, you know, just a millimeter here and a millimeter there, that can do it. And I've got scoliosis on top of that. So
gravity wins.
Yep. Gravity always wins. So does water. Yep. That's a whole nother topic. All right. You guys got anything else?
I think we're good.
Okay, and Tacey.
Welcome to
Tacey's
Rumble.
Like,
happy to be on Rumble.
Well, I am.
Rumbling.
Yeah, we need to get some of our regulars in here, but it was good to see Richard Kish in here. He's my buddy who enjoys the prog rock, man.
Man.
And Diving Tech did bring up a good point about the talk that we did on D-dimer, that the D-dimer level being out of normal range depends on the units measured and your local reference range study. Yes, that is absolutely true. I was presuming that when they asked me about it, they asked me about it because it was elevated. So we haven't talked about lab values in a long time. So it does depend, the how much it's out of range depends on what the normal is in your lab. And normally, if I had somebody here and they were talking about lab, I would ask them, well, what's the normal range? Mm-hmm. Because there are different units too. And Glue Gluman was here as well. Thank you, Glue Gluman.
And Brian had a good question.
Oh, and Brian, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Brian, for your D-dimer. And let us know what happens with that as well. All right, well, listen, we can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, that Gould girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Opcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Howdy Gooplunk, Eric Nagel, the Port Charlotte Whore, the Saratoga Skag, the Florida Floozy, the St. Pete Barkeep Blower, the Dolly Museum Diddler, the Ballet Bimbo, the girl with a genetic half-sister no one knows about, Percy Dumb, Roland Campos, sister of Chris, Sam Roberts, she who owns Pigs and Snakes, Pat Duffy, Bill the Cop, Keith the Cop, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, Christopher Walken's voice double, guitarist Steve Tucci, the great Rob Bartlett, Adam Goldstein, Cowgirl Vic, thank you for your service, Cardiff Electric, Casey the Soil Scientist, Carl of the Talipes Equinovarus Carls, producer Chris, the subreddit News Chick, a.k.a. That Broad, Crows and the Bukkake Queen, Jenny Jingles, the Inimitable, Vincent Paolino, everybody, Eric Zane, Trucker Andy, Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's daughter, Ron Bennington, and of course our dear departed friends, G-Vac, Barry the Blade, and Todd Hillier, who supported this show, was always gracious and always appreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.